Matthew 5:17-20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word and to pray for our church, to connect with you. I pray that you will speak to us and meet with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is beginning to show his disciples and teach his view of the Old Testament. When he says, I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets, the law and the prophets refer to the Old Testament scripture. Jesus would have read a very similar version of the Bible that we have in our Old Testament scripture. There was a Hebrew scripture that had already been established by the time Jesus is doing his ministry, and he would have studied that scripture. The order of the books was different, but it would have been the same content. Why does Jesus address this question? Because Jesus' teaching is unlike any other teaching that the audience would have heard at the time. There is a verse in Matthew 7:28-29. So Matthew 7:28-29 is the ending verses of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what the people say. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Now this saying comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, but it is possible that even before this specific instance, there are instances of Jesus teaching and people would have heard that and thought, well, that is different. The way he teaches is different from the way the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, what they are used to hearing, because what the teachers of the law would have done is basically teach what is written in the law and not really give anything that seems new. They're merely maybe, you know, reciting and teaching on the law, whereas when they hear what Jesus is saying, they feel like, wow, this is a different kind of teaching. Jesus is teaching with his own authority, and it is not like anything they have heard from their teachers of the law. And in his ministry, Jesus challenges many of the customs of the Pharisees, especially their interpretation and traditions regarding the Sabbath. Right? There are instances in the book of Mark, before Jesus does his teaching, there's an instance of him healing on the Sabbath. And he's constantly challenging the Pharisees on their customs, on their interpretation of what the law says, the traditions of the Pharisees. And so it's possible, we're just imagining, right? So it's possible that as people are following Jesus, watching Jesus, hearing his teachings, maybe they are wondering, what does this person, what does this teacher think about the Old Testament? Does he believe the Old Testament? Does he, you know, the Hebrew Scriptures? Or is he teaching something new? Is he bringing something new, a new revelation? And so Jesus wants to put to rest any rumors or concerns about his stance on the Old Testament. And so he wants to clarify his stance on the Old Testament. And what is his stance on the Old Testament, on the Hebrew Scriptures? We can see that Jesus has high regard for the Old Testament. Jesus viewed the Old Testament as the Word of God, and he honors it greatly. He has it and he holds it in high regard. He says, I have come. Verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, the Old Testament. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And then you can see the way he views the Old Testament in verse 18. For I truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So we can see that Jesus is holding the Old Testament in high regard, and he views it as Scripture, the Word of God. He says, I've not come to abolish it. When we read through Jesus' teaching in the Gospels, he never says, this is what is written in the Old Testament, in the law, but who cares? That's wrong. And here is the truth. Right? You never see Jesus saying, well, this is what is written, but disregard it, dismiss it, because I'm giving you truth. I'm giving you the real thing. You never hear Jesus doing that. Jesus has come to fulfill the law. Rather, what Jesus says often in the New Testament, in the gospel stories, he says, it is written thus and thus. And your interpretation of this is thus and thus. But I'm here to tell you the fullness of what the Old Testament is saying. Right? He never dismisses what is actually written, but he does dismiss the traditions, the interpretations, the customs of the religious leaders of that time. And we have to be careful in not thinking that Jesus is dismissing the Old Testament and teaching something different. He's upholding the Old Testament, but at times dismissing and correcting the interpretation, the customs, the traditions that existed at the time, and giving a fuller understanding, a deeper understanding of what the Old Testament is saying. The Old Testament gives us doctrinal teachings, doctrine about who God is, who is man, how does prayer work, how do we relate to God. The Old Testament gives us a lot of teachings about these things, and Jesus, as he teaches on the law, gives a fuller picture of who God is, of these doctrines, who God is, who is, or what is prayer, how do we relate to God, etc. The law and the commandments. The Old Testament also gives a lot of law and different kinds of commandments. And Jesus, when he teaches on the law and the commandments, he's giving a deeper understanding of the law and the commandments. He's giving a fuller picture. And then the Old Testament also contains prophetic passages. Prophetic passages about the coming Messiah, and Jesus is the fulfillment of those prophetic passages. Jesus fulfills those passages directly. Look at verse 20. He says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 17 to 20, what we looked at today, is basically a summary statement of the teaching that is about to follow. For the rest of chapter 5, you're familiar with these things probably. You know, Jesus is going to say, you have heard it said, do not murder. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. You have heard it said this and that, but let me teach you, you know, let me give you a different kind of teaching. Let me give you a fuller teaching. That's about to follow. So these verses that we read today is a summary. It's like an introductory statement of the teaching that is about to follow. And Jesus wants to make sure that they understand. As I provide these teachings, I'm not dismissing the Old Testament. I am giving you a fuller picture, a deeper picture. If we're not careful, it may seem like Jesus is actually setting aside what is written in the Old Testament. But that's not what he's doing. He's giving us a deeper and greater understanding of what is written in the Old Testament while setting aside the traditions, the customs, the interpretations. John Stott is he's passed away now, but he's a great Bible teacher, a pastor. He's written a book on the Sermon on the Mount, and I got this from him. He says, he provided this understanding that when you read through the New Testament, the gospel stories, when Jesus quotes scripture, when Jesus quotes the Old Testament scripture, the phrase that he uses is, it is written. It is written. When Jesus is quoting the Old Testament and reading from the Old Testament scripture, he always says, it is written this and this and this. In the text that's going to follow in the rest of chapter 5, when he corrects the traditions, the customs of man regarding the Old Testament, he will use the phrase, you have heard it said, or it has been said, it was said. He doesn't say, it is written, you should not murder, but let me provide a different understanding. He says, you have heard it said, you should not murder. If you look through all of those teachings, there's 6 of them, I think. Some of them we can see, actually, what has been said is different. They're adding some things to the Old Testament scripture. And so based on that, we can see that when Jesus says, you have heard it said, he's not referring to what is actually written in the Old Testament. He's referring to the teachings, the customs, the traditions of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law at the time, because the audience, the congregation, the crowd would have heard those teachings from the teachers of the law. And so you have heard it said thus and thus, but let me give you a better understanding of what the scripture is saying. Jesus is giving us a greater understanding of the Old Testament scriptures. When Jesus says in verse 20, your righteousness needs to surpass that of the Pharisees. Your righteousness needs to be greater than that of the Pharisees. What Jesus is saying is your righteousness is going to be deeper because it's not just about behavior modification, but the Old Testament law is actually supposed to address the heart issues. And what Jesus is saying, the way I'm teaching about the Old Testament, we're addressing the heart issues. And if your heart issues are dealt with, the righteousness that comes from that is going to be greater. It's going to surpass that of the Pharisees who only focus on behavior modification. Okay, so So what we can see is that Jesus holds the Old Testament in high regard, and he is affirming what is written in the Old Testament. And he's saying, I'm not here to abolish or dismiss it. I'm here to fulfill it. So what should be our attitude before we go into our worship time? What should be our attitude toward the Old Testament? We need to hold it in the same high regard as Jesus, and read the Old Testament and study it. Some parts of the church sometimes dismiss the Old Testament altogether. They say, well, we need to only focus on the New Testament because that's the new covenant. That's what Jesus has taught. We are living in the time after the time of Jesus, and therefore, we don't need to read the Old Testament. We can only focus on the New Testament. But if we want to be followers of Jesus, we can't do that. If we want to follow Jesus as our Lord, we need to consider, how did Jesus view the Old Testament? And he said, well, this is the Word of God. Not one stroke of the Old Testament is going to disappear, right? It's going to be dismissed until the fulfillment of all things, until the end of the world, basically, and until Jesus comes back. And so, until then, we're going to hold it in the same high regard and study it and read it. You know, the proof of the Old Testament being true is much more difficult to argue than the evidence for the New Testament. Because the Old Testament is written so long ago, the evidence, the proof of Old Testament being true is much more difficult. The proof of the New Testament is much easier. And especially to prove that the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are eyewitness accounts, and that we can have a great level of confidence in trusting the New Testament, especially the gospels, as true, is much easier. And so when, you know, different people who are defending the faith talk about Scripture, they'll often start with the New Testament and the Gospels, and they'll give evidence for the truth of the Gospels, because what happens then is we have a pretty good understanding of what did Jesus actually do and what did Jesus actually teach. And then, based on what Jesus taught on the Old Testament, then we can have the same kind of confidence in the Old Testament that Jesus did. Because Jesus' view of the Old Testament was very high, then we can also trust it and have confidence that it's true. And I would say, for us, we should assume the law and the commandments that are given in the Old Testament are still true and abiding unless it's explicitly taught otherwise in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, there are sacrificial laws, dietary laws. These have been explicitly explained in the New Testament that they are no longer abiding in our day. And therefore, we can dismiss them. And we can say, Jesus, in coming and dying on the cross, he has fulfilled those laws, and we don't have to continue to practice them anymore. But unless it is explicitly explained in the New Testament, we have to be very careful in dismissing what is written in the Old Testament. You know, sometimes there's an attitude in the church and also in the world like, oh, that's Old Testament stuff. That's old covenant stuff. And so we don't have to worry about that. And I would challenge and say, well, let's be careful, because Jesus says, I'm not abolishing the law and the prophets. And he says, not one stroke of it is going to be dismissed until the fulfillment. And so I would say great care must be taken before simply dismissing a commandment in the Old Testament as Old Covenant. And so we start with the assumption that it's true and it's abiding, And then we study, and then we ask the questions, does it still apply to us today? Is it in the same way? Maybe is there a different way to apply it? But we start with the assumption that it's true and abiding. Okay, so maybe there's a lot of teaching on the Old Testament, but Wesley's going to lead us in a song. I think for us, just the application point is, let's respect the Old Testament and really hold it in a similarly high regard as Jesus and study it and read it and trust it, instead of dismissing the Old Testament. Thank you, God. Thank you for providing for us in this text Jesus' view of the Old Testament. And I pray that we would be able to hold it in a similarly high regard and really allow the Old Testament to teach us and show us who God is and what is on your heart, the commandments, the law, the will of God that is revealed in the Old Testament. And I pray that you would help us to get a fuller understanding of the Old Testament in the light of what is revealed in the New Testament and the work of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would lead us, you know, and guide us, God, in this journey of knowing you more and studying the Scriptures. Thank you.
Find me in the dark. can separate us. I reach out and you find me in the dark. You say no amount of untruth can separate.
Let's pray together for our church. Let's pray for those who are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery regarding cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for the power of God to come upon our friends and to release healing. Let's lift up our friends. Let's pray for those who are ill but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for both physical healing and spiritual healing as well. pray for the various infirmities that our friends are experiencing. Let's pray for healing and strength for our friends. Actually okay now, but let's pray for Christy. Her father apparently is not doing very well and went to the hospital yesterday, so let's pray for healing for him and for the family and protection and covering over his family. And let's also pray for the frontline medical workers at our church. Let's pray for strength for them. Just protection from the Lord over them. Looking for a job, let's pray for God's provision and guidance. Let's pray for our Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for our missions. Topics. Let's pray for China. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and Pastor Ricky leading our church plants in Beijing and Shanghai. Pray for the Chongs, who are the missionaries that we have a relationship with ministering there. And let's just pray for all the churches in China. Let's pray for God to move powerfully in this nation. Pray for the board. Pray for Pastor Sam, myself, Kiwon, Sue, Xiao, Janie, Jung, Amanda, and Monica, serving as the secretary. Let's pray for God's guidance and leading. Let's pray for protection for the board. Let's pray for the personal lives of each of the board members, their families, jobs, relationships. Let's pray for God's favor upon each person, and that as a board we'll be able to work together very well. Let's pray. pray for the different fellowship areas in the church, young adults. Let's pray for men's ministry and women's ministry, that through these ministries, people will be able to connect with one another and build deeper friendships and relationships. Community will be formed through these ministries. Let's pray. Hospitality ministries, welcoming our barista ministry and logistics. Welcoming team, let's pray for Pastor Samuel as he's leading the team. Let's pray that everybody that serves in this ministry will be able to really share the love of God with those who are coming. Logistics is Tim. Let's pray, it's right now it's just him. Let's pray for more people to serve on this team so that the running of the service will be smooth. And let's pray for barista. It's not open because of COVID restrictions, but let's pray that it'll be able to open up soon and we'll be able to serve the people of our church, coffee, and really provide an opportunity to fellowship after service. Let's pray for these three ministries. Pray for our pregnancies. Let's pray for protection, safe delivery, strength for the moms. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We want to give you our hearts, God. We want to give you our lives. I pray that you would help us to read and study and really understand the Old Testament and follow the example of Jesus Christ. And I pray as we go forth with our day that you will be with us, God. Help us to glorify you throughout the day today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray.